This evening is the last sermon about the series that I call When God Calls Us to Do His Will. And today, I just like to reflect upon some verses from the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse, I'm going to read from verses 6. And these are some of the verses we have read during the last few weeks as Paul sending this letter to the church in Philippi. And so we continue today. We are going to read Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading verse 6 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and we finish in verse 12. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. Verse 11. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what is to be in need, and I know what is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I have learned the secret to be content, says Paul. The context of these verses is pleading to two Christian women. And that's what we read in the verses before. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2, we read it before. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. So there is a problem there in the church. And he says he's urging them to compose the differences which have divided them. And then Paul goes on and adds certain exhortations addressed to the whole church. And that is what concerns us this evening. And the first of those of this exhortation is an exhortation to rejoice in the middle of problems and difficulties. Here there is a disagreement. And nothing can destroy the joy when we have Jesus in our life. And he says, when we have Jesus in our life, we are going to rejoice, and he's going to give us his peace. Now, the peace of God sometimes could be not there because we are not content. We are discontent. We are unhappy about something. We want things our way. We become anxious. So Paul is teaching us in this text, learning to be content. In the church, they are having this situation with these two ladies, and there is something is happening. Now, Paul goes on to tell the church, you need to learn to be content. Have you been content in all these circumstances? Sometimes it's difficult because we want things to be one way, but they are not. Now, Paul knows the answer, and he says that our answer to be content lies in our position, in our faith, in our life of prayer, in our priorities, in our source of power. He's saying that in our position, when we know where we stand in our faith, when we know where we stand in our life of prayer, when we know our priorities, when we know our source of power. So tonight I just want to go through only three things about Paul's teaching about learning to be content. First of all, he says, our position is important. Our faith and prayer life. Christians should be prayerful instead of anxious. Something is happening in your life, pray. Something is happening in your life, have faith. We have the privilege to bring anything in prayer to the Father. He will hear our prayers for what we need. And the answer to anxiety, says Paul, is prayer. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What is going on in your life? Do not be anxious, says Paul, about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And as we do this, we should worship Him with thanksgiving, like we were doing this evening. Our hearts should be full of thanksgiving. And then the result is that we turn from anxiety into a place of worship. And the peace that surpasses all understanding, said Paul, will fill your heart. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, somebody say, easy to say it. How we are going to get it? Let's think about Paul first. Paul says in verse 10, if you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord, that at last you renew your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it. Here, the Apostle Paul is in prison, and he has been deprived of his freedom. He has lost everything, but not his joy, not his love for people, not his peace, not his contentment. And because of his faith in God, in his fellowship with Jesus, he's able to say, I rejoice. Notice, I rejoice in the Lord. Our union with Christ is what is going to give us contentment. There is a story about, let me try if I get it right. There is a story about Danny Simpson. Danny Simpson was a 24-year-old Canadian. He went to jail for robbing a bank in Ottawa. So Danny, he was a kind of criminal that was quite popular. Now, his gang went to the museum, and he was arrested. When he finally was arrested, it was for robbing a bank, $6,000, and then sent to jail for 6 years. Now, he had used a 45 caliber Colt semi-automatic, which turned out to be an antique made by Ross Rifle Company, Quebec City, in 1918. And you know, the pistol is worth of $100,000. If Danny knew what he has to carry out, you know, in his hand, he would not have robbed that bank. Sometimes we have something in our lives, and you know what? We turn to something else. Sometimes we go through difficult path in our lives. We tend to see our circumstances and we forget to pray and to talk to God. We do not consider our position. Some people turn to drugs. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people turn to sex. Some people turn to many different things because they don't realize what we have. Paul says, you need to realize your position, the promises. And you know what we do? We multiply our problems and we tend not to count our blessings. This is happening when we don't realize how blessed we are. And we keep on moaning and complaining and seeing the problems around us. Paul is saying, check your position. Pray. Count your blessings. And he said, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. The second thing that he says is about our priorities. We need to establish our priorities. Verse 12 of Philippians chapter 4 says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 says, I know what is to be in need, and I know what is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I have learned the secret to being content. The Apostle Paul emphasized why he's able to have peace. He knows his position. He knows that he has to have faith, but he also knows his priority. Later in the book of Galatians, he says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life now I live in the body, I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He knew his priorities. And the priorities is when you and myself, we believe in Jesus. Should be to seek him. Our priority as believers is to seek to please Jesus and quit worrying about pleasing people. Paul was seeking Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But let us put an example. How many of you remember the story of Jonah? We all remember the story of Jonah. What we remember is the fish. What else? Yeah. And that he was inside the fish. Why he was in rebellion with God? Why? Exactly. We are, you know, these people are evil people. We, you know, this is the way we most of us we think, so we should not do it. Why you are interested in these people? Says God. That basically that's what he's saying to God. Why you are interested in these people? You know, here Jonah, that most people think that this is a children's tale, but here we could learn a lesson about priorities. And let me tell you this. There are things in our lives that when we want to hold on to faith, we need to be faithful to God. And sometimes we will not be able to understand why we have to do this. Why should I do that? We struggle when we read the Bible because the teaching is challenging. But if we seek him first with all our heart, if we live for him, all things will be given to us on top of everything. He will give us peace. Jonah didn't have peace. He was running away because he wanted to do it his way. We are not always called to understand, but to stand. Jonah didn't understand what God was asking him to do. Why am I going to preach these people? They're going to kill me. They are horrible people. The moment, let's go back, you know, to Jonah. The moment Jonah understood his priority, he was able to bless people. You know what is God's priority? It's the verse I shared this morning. Shall we read this verse together from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9? This is what God wants. Shall we read together? The Lord. That's what God wants. That is his priority. Maybe like Jonah, I said, well, actually, we need to seek peace and everyone have to be nice and we need to do charity and we need to be, yeah, that's good. This is what God wants. Everyone to come to what? To repentance. That's what he wants. Oh, but we need to, like Jonah, we take his position. And we start thinking, and then God's priority is put to one side. Remember this. What are our priorities? Okay, if you made a list, what are your priorities? Family? Our work? Our business? Where is God in all this? Where is God in your priorities? We are not always called to understand, but to stand. Let me tell you something. When we hear the society, when we hear what most people say, like Jonah, perhaps Jonah was hearing his society. Ninevites are horrible people. When I was younger, in those days in Latin America, everything was about Che Guevara. And you go to university and it was about Che Guevara and you know, Fidel Castro. Americans are horrible people. And many of my friends went that line. And they were left wings. And I saw them dying because they were part of the guerrilla. And I was sometimes a little bit concerned because me joining the Navy, I was like on the other side. But that was what the society was saying. And then if you go there, you develop that resentment. Like Jonah. He didn't want to go to preach. What are your priorities? Are you going just to listen? And Paul is saying, hey, you need to have your priorities right. And sometimes we don't understand. Lena Sandahl, the Swedish hymnist, Lena Sandahl-Berg, served with her father in an evangelistic ministry. As they were traveling by ship, he accidentally fell overboard and drowned. In need of the comfort that only God can supply, she wrote the following words. Maybe you know this wonderful hymn, Day by Day. And it sounds, day by day, and with each moment, passing moments, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I no cause for worry or for fear. She was able to write that. She got her priorities right. In times of conflict and defeat, and there is an always available source in which we can draw the grace of God. For when God allows a burden, he always gives the grace to bear it. Paul is in prison, and he carries on doing his ministry. Ideas, teaching, theologies, philosophies have come and will go. Do you remember when we have black and white TVs? But it looked like. And you know that, I don't know you, but you know, only posh people can have the black and white TV. You know, we used to gather around their houses because, you know, we were unable to afford it. And then, you know, remember, I think, Classes Clay fighting. And, you know, I remember those, you know. And then, now, what is a TV? Remember people having cars. Or telephones. My friends, philosophies, theologies, modern teaching will come and go. Jesus Christ's teaching is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul says, he says, we instead should cling to those things that Paul set forth when he was alive. At the heart of Paul's message is this statement. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Whatever our circumstances may be, we can draw on the power of Christ for the strength to face them. It's Christ. It's his teaching. We need to abide in him. And, you know, we need to know our source of power. And that is very important. Paul is saying, I can do all this. I can preach, I can teach, I can work, I can be a witness through him who gives me strength. How do you draw the power of Christ? Well, today, before I finish, I love illustrations. And then to say, oh, this is a very good one. And, you know, Corrie ten Boom, she gave an illustration, a wonderful illustration about the reality of Christ indwelling us. And she gives an illustration about a globe. And she says this, okay? Magnus wants to have the power to carry on being a Christian. Andrew wants to have the power to carry on being a Christian. Monica wants to carry on being a Christian. I want to do it. Paul wants to do it, and this is how we do it. This is what Paul is saying, but let me give you the illustration from Corrie ten Boom. She says this, I have a glove here in my hand. The glove cannot do anything by itself, but when my hand is in it, can this do something? Can this go and help Peter? No. When my hand is in it, this glove can do many things. I can go and help people. I can go and be available to do something. The glove is the Christian. And the hand is the Holy Spirit helping us to do His will. Even when things are completely upside down, like the life of this wonderful woman, the Swedish hymnist Lina Sandelberg. And the problem is that sometimes we are like this globe. You see? And we have things in our life, and they say, okay, do you think that will be okay? Can I do something with this? Well, and then sometimes it's so important our belongings. I need to. Paul says he has education. He has a PhD in theology or whatever. He said that is manure. He says I consider them manure. So I need to get that. And then sometimes it's so important our jobs and you know. And they say, oh, you know, we need to get rid of those things from our life. Sometimes it could be even our theology. It will be a stumbling block. Because we want to teach God how to do His business. I need to get rid of that. Perhaps it's my family. Perhaps it's my character. Perhaps it's an addiction I have in my life. My friend, you can do it. You can do it. I can do it. And is there, like American, you know, like she says, when I empty every single corner of my life, is that I'm going to be able to serve the Lord. And like Paul says, we are going to enjoy the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Have you been content in all the circumstances you have faced? Don't answer that question. It's difficult sometimes to be content. We want more. Have you realized that? But maybe you, some who are older than me have more experience. You know, we want something, and then you got it, and then what is it? You want something else. If I only have that, and then you have it, you want more. Paul says to us tonight, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. How can you find true contentment? Well, the Apostle Paul says, the answer lies in your position, in our faith, in our life of prayer, your priorities, and your source of power. Are you going to allow God to use you completely? Or are you going to field? Are you going to help Him with something else? He wants to use our lives here in Penrith. He wants to use our lives wherever you are, in London, in China, in Africa. We need to be empty so the Spirit of the Lord could work in our lives. I finish with one verse from Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. The peace that surpasses our understanding are available to those who are willing to empty everything from their lives so God can use us. for his glory. Jonah was able to bless Nineveh. I must confess, sometimes we criticize some characters in the Bible. Perhaps I will do the same like Jonah. Because by the way you read the story, they were horrible people. And can you imagine Jonah preaching, "They're going to kill me"? Sometimes, that's what happens in our churches. We are fearful. And we try to help God. You know how we can help him? Allowing him to use us. So he could fill every single part of our lives. My mind, my hands, my intellect, my body, with his presence. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Paul did it, and he was able to serve the Lord with all his heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we sometimes are anxious because we want something. We are anxious because we are lacking something. We are anxious because we fear how people are going to treat us when we are going to bring your word. Father, like Paul, help us to have a clear position in our faith, to trust you. Help us, Lord, to have our priorities right, and help us to rely in your power, not in our